Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there's a new voice in the broadcast booth. James Outman, really going to be the center fielder? And we take a look at if the front office should have gone harder this offseason because Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are still in their primes. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. We are here every weekday, Monday through Friday, bringing you the latest news and updates and talk about the Dodgers. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers and subscribe in each of those spots and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Amperio. I'm usually here with co-host Jeff Snyder, but he wasn't feeling well, so we're going to be here. I'm rolling solo today, and we're both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent time covering the team, that continue to cover the team, and we spent time in the press box, spent time in the locker room, spent time all over Dodger Stadium, and spent time for 30 minutes with you here every Monday through Friday talking about our favorite team, the Dodgers, and that's what we're here to do today. No real news in terms of roster construction over the weekend for the Dodgers. No real news in really the baseball world over the weekend. A couple small deals. I guess one deal that slightly impacts the Dodgers in a sense just because they were linked to him. Pablo Lopez from the Marlins was traded to the Twins for all-star second baseman Luis Arraez. And yeah, the Dodgers had been linked linked to Pablo Lopez when they were looking for starting pitching, and for it to cost an all-star second baseman, you know, it probably took the Dodgers out of contention just for the simple fact that they're not looking to remove players from their current major league roster. They would, you know, probably be willing to deal from the minor league depth that they have, but not an established, you know. Luis Arraez was an all-star and the batting champ in the American League last year. Now, you know, his OPS still was under 800, so he wasn't, you know, an amazing hitter overall, but he is very hard to strike out. He puts the ball in play, and he gets base hits, and, you know, that's all you can really ask for. So, yeah, that's the main news that affects the Dodgers over the weekend. But there was some news in Dodgerland outside of the field and in the broadcast booth. The Dodgers added Steven Nelson to their TV broadcast team. If the name sounds familiar or if you haven't seen already, Steven Nelson worked for MLB Network last. He was a host and play-by-play broadcast, or he was a host. And he did some play-by-play broadcasting for Apple TV and YouTube TV. He's also done hockey before and other stuff for NHL Network. He was the host of Intentional Talk. He replaced Chris Rose and worked with Kevin Millar on Intentional Talk on MLB Network. He's done a bunch of things, you know, across the baseball world the last few years. And for me personally, it's cool because he used to be a coworker of mine. He worked at Bleacher Report when I used to work at Bleacher Report back in my first go-around. And he did in-studio stuff and, you know, did a bunch of different things there. And then he moved on to MLB Network. And it was cool. I got to see him at the World Series after Game 6 of the World Series. We got to talk for a little bit. And who knew that we were going to, you know, be close again. I'm sure I'll see him during the regular season. And if just real quick, if you didn't see or you didn't read up on him, and he's from Southern California. He went to high school in Huntington Beach. He worked for KTLA and Fox Sports West as an intern when he was younger. He went to Chapman University, which is out here. So he was grew up a Dodger fan, you know, grew up down here, and now he's coming back home. He made sure to make clear in his intro video too, he's not replacing Joe Davis. Joe Davis is still here. The expectation for him is to call about 50 home and road games this year. So probably home games when Joe Davis can't, and maybe some road games. And the rest of the SNLA team will still be back. So we'll still have, you know, obviously Joe Davis, Oro, Nomar, Eric Harris, Jessica Mendoza, Tim Neverett, Dontrell Willis, and everyone else. So it's just another added name to it. One note on him is that he is Japanese American, and he will be the only Asian American play-by-play broadcaster working for an MLB team. So we welcome Steven Nelson. We appreciate him. Obviously, we appreciate Joe Davis and everyone else. And if you watch football, you get to hear Joe Davis every so often, once a week and calling games. So yeah, personally, he's a great guy. I know that. Broadcasting wise, I don't remember if I watched too many of the Apple TV or YouTube TV games, but he knows his stuff, and he'll be a fun addition to the broadcast. So I'm looking forward to hearing him and what he brings and that energy that he'll bring to the broadcast booth. So appreciate Steven Nelson. And he mentioned he says that, quote, growing up in Southern California, like so many Angelinos, I enjoyed a front row seat to broadcast greatness with Vin, Scully, Jaime Harin, Chick Hearn, Bob Miller, and others. The tradition has continued with Joe Davis. To work with and learn from somebody that has become a friend in recent years is special. This is an honor and a blessing that I'll work tirelessly to earn. And it is, pretty crazy. You see a lot of these teams that have new broadcasters every so often, or they have a bunch of guys, or they don't really have, there's teams that have their set guys. But the Dodgers didn't have guys for a long time. It was Vin Scully in English and Jaime Harin in Spanish. And, Vin Scully retired a few years ago, and unfortunately we lost him last year. Joe Davis came in and pretty seamless and, brings a different perspective, brings a different style, but brings a style that is enjoyable to listen to, at least for us Dodger fans, for the majority. And then, Jaime Harin retiring this year, we'll see how it goes in the booth for the Spanish broadcast. But now it's just interesting. It's not like there's not a lot of turnover. No, Joe Davis has been the guy, and obviously he has other opportunities and other things that he has to do. So he's not there every single game, but it's been interesting, for the Dodgers that it went from one guy the entire time to now we have a handful of guys, and they all bring their different perspectives. I would like to hear Dontrell a little bit more this year. I feel like his first few broadcasts last year were a little. They're rough around the edges. They weren't rough to listen to. They're just rough around the edges. He reacts a little bit differently than we're used to as Dodger fans. We're used to then Scully and then Joe Davis and Oral, which aren't as, big as reactionary guys. Dontrell was big on reaction. So Dodgers have a pretty strong booth overall. And, it just got stronger with Steven Nelson. So we're going to talk about James Outman next, because he put out a cool little workout video and then everyone started talking about James Outman. And, realistically, he's going to be the center fielder for the Dodgers as of now. So we're going to get into some James Outman talk. First, we want to talk about FanDuel, because today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited for our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. There's some big NFL games coming up this weekend. So as the numbers start coming in, maybe we'll give you guys some bets that I believe in, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Plus your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so let's talk about James Outman. James Outman put out a workout video the other day on Instagram. And, workout videos can always look cool because you're working out and you add some cuts and you add some music and, you add some filters. And it looked pretty cool. Either way, James Outman is a guy that the Dodgers are going to be counting on this year, at least, for what we believe. He's going to be there in center field for a lot of games. And we've talked about James Outman. We've talked about Trace Thompson. We've talked about James Outman. We've talked about, Chris Taylor. Jeff talked about Jason Hayward last week. And it's really going to come down to spring training. This is going to be really a true battle in spring training. I believe, Outman and Trace probably have the in, since they're already currently on the roster and on the 40-man. Jason Hayward's going to have to fight his way on, but there will be 40-man openings, and he can very much do so. But you look at James Altman, and he's been really good in the minor leagues in terms of power and in terms of, basically power and hitting the ball. His OPSs from 2018 to 2022 in the minors have been 841, 729, 869, and then last year 978. His OPS in 16 plate appearances is 1.409, obviously unsustainable. And as we've mentioned before, he started 6-for-6, and then he ended 0-for-7 with 7 strikeouts. So he has 13 at-bats in his career. His first 6 were hits. His last 7 were strikeouts. Strikeouts are an issue for him. He averages over a strikeout per game throughout his entire minor league career. But, I mean, honestly, I hadn't really looked at his numbers from last season up until right now and before this episode. And, yes, this is between AA and AAA. You know, PCL is also an offensive league. But 294 batting average, 978 OPS, 31 doubles, 31 home runs, 106 RBI, 13 stolen bases. And then 152 strikeouts in 473 at-bats in 125 games. So, you know, more than a strikeout per game. But with James Altman, you know, the talent is there. He's, you know, he wasn't a highly touted prospect, and now he's worked his way up, and he's, you know, a top 100 prospect, and he's already a little bit on the older side in terms of prospect-wise. He's 25 years old, and, you know, he's looking – he already was, you know, looking like in shape and already looked like an athlete, but he's looking a little bit more jacked in this Instagram video. And it's exciting to see guys. It's exciting and not exciting to have a little bit of unknown with the Dodgers. You know, last year we had a lot of known for the most part. You know, we knew what Freddie Freeman would give you, knew what, you know, Trey Turner was going to give you, know what Mookie Betts was going to give you, know what Will Smith was going to give you. For the most part, you knew what Max Muncy was going to give you, and it took him a while, but he eventually got there. You knew what Justin Turner was going to give you, you knew what Chris Taylor was going to give you. He disappointed a little bit. Cody Bellinger, you were hoping he would give you something, but you kind of knew what to expect. And, you know, it was a little bit less of the unknown. This year, we still have Freddie Freeman. There's still Mookie Betts. There's still Will Smith. There's still Max Muncy of, like, the known commodities. But, you know, Gavin Lux isn't known yet, but he did have a good year last year before he got hurt. So if you put that in the mix of, okay, he's going to be like that again, then, okay, maybe he's a slight known commodity to a certain extent. Don't necessarily know what he's going to do defensively, but, you know, that's a different question. But second base or third base, wherever Miguel Vargas plays the most, we don't know what we're going to get with him. We know what we think we're going to get, but we don't know what we're going to get. You know, left field, center field between Altman and Chris Taylor and Trace Thompson and maybe Jason Hayward and maybe Miguel Vargas, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. So there's basically 3 to 4 spots where you don't exactly know what production you're going to get, and you're hoping that you're going to get great production, but it's not necessarily a given. And with Altman, you know, that's where we're at. And you know, he can look as good as he wants in a workout video on Instagram, but doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make more contact at the plate. But he is, you know, we do know he's working out. He has a work ethic, and, you know, that's always going to be a benefit. And for him, as the left-handed bat, you would imagine, you know, well, again, we don't know exactly what it is, but you would imagine that, okay, James Altman, you're going to be our center fielder when right-handers are on the mound, which is almost every day, you know, or at least 3-4 times a week. So he's going to be your center fielder majority of the time if that's the way they go with him. And even, let's just say, he halves everything that he did in the minors last year. He halves everything. So 15 doubles, 15 home runs, you know, around 50-some RBIs. That's still pretty good in terms of county numbers. Now, if he, you know, even if he drop, obviously he's going to drop a little bit. I don't doubt he's going to have a 978 OPS. I doubt he's going to slug over 580. But if he can slug around, you know, 450, 500, that's still a win. If he can have an on-base percentage, you know, over 340, 350, that's a win. You know, batting average, not so much a matter of anything. But if he can have a high batting average, that's obviously beneficial. If he can just cut the strikeouts down a little bit, or at least, you know, be a threat every time at the plate, is, I think, more for me what we're expecting out of some of these guys, is be a threat sometimes at the plate. because we don't know exactly what we're going to get. But if you know every time James Outman comes to the plate, he's going to give you a chance, that's all you can really ask for. Because, you know, they've had guys in the past that, you know, we talked about it before, but Steven Souza Jr., you didn't really expect much. You were hoping that he could do something, but you didn't expect much. You know, guys like after Zach Rex, when he first came up, you know, DJ Peters, when they first came up, you were hoping that they would do something, but then you realize pretty quick that, okay, you're hoping, the hope is that you're hoping he does something. It's not necessarily, I think he might do something. It's, I hope he might do something. So half the battle is putting up competitive at-bats, which, you know, James Outman could do definitely. And, you know, defensively, we haven't seen enough of him in the outfield personally, you know, Jeff or I, to make a call. But he does, like I said, he does seem like a very good athlete. He's, you know, a bigger guy, 6'3". So he'll be able to handle the outfield, I think so. And especially if he continues to work out at Dodger Stadium and learns the angles and learns, you know, the different times of day and where everything's at. And, you know, getting part of the game plan and moving around, I don't see him having an issue in center field. And at the plate, you're not asking for much. And the other part of his game that we haven't talked about is speed. You know, in 55 games, he stole 12 bases his first year. And he stole 20 bases in 119 games his next year. He stole 23 bases in 104 games the next year. Last year was the first time he didn't steal as many. And he only stole 13 bases. But last year, he also hit a lot more home runs and a lot more doubles. And you're not stealing third base as often. And he also had a handful of triples. So, but that can be a part of his game, and that's a way that he can endear himself not only to the team but to the fans, and, you know, find a way to help out. Let's just say he is struggling, but, you know, he finds a way to get on base, or he does end up getting on base. You know, being able to steal bases would be a benefit for everyone and a benefit to the Dodgers and a way for him to make a mark. And the Dodgers in general don't steal as many bases. I think Trey Turner should have tried to steal way more bases last year. I think Mookie Betts, you know, could benefit from trying a little bit. I think in general the Dodgers could try a little bit more from stealing bases, which could happen with the new rules this year, with the bases being a little bit bigger, you know, the pickoff rules where you can only pick off twice before you have to get them out, or, you know, runner gets to move an extra base. So I think there's going to be opportunities for the Dodgers to use and exploit their speed. And I do think that's one way with all these unknowns that they can add to their offensive, you know, prowess, as being able to use that speed that they do have on the team and putting teams in uncomfortable situations, moving guys around, you know, and not necessarily always relying on a bigger hit or stringing together hits, which we know in the postseason is the issue. It's hard to string along hits. So if you can get a guy on base to start off an inning and you can get him to second base before there's an out or before there's two outs, then, you know, your chances of hitting one more base hit aren't as astronomical as getting two more base hits. And, you know, now you're putting up runs without necessarily having to put together three, four hits in a row. So all in all, this is to say that I believe in James Outman. I believe he can be a decent major league outfielder. I believe he can be a league average player. And that's essentially all the Dodgers really need, because they didn't necessarily get a league average hitter from Bellinger the last few years. And, you know, obviously with Outman, it's going to be very easy for him to maybe fall into slumps. You know, he is already strikeout prone, but like I said, if he can just be a threat every time he comes to play, even when Bellinger was at his worst, he had the benefit of the doubt of we've seen him be really, really, really good. But there was a threat, there was a hope, or there was a belief that he could, you know, do damage. And at some point it did become more hope than belief. But all in all, you were like, okay, when Bellinger, especially in key situations, because he did seem to clutch up when the Dodgers did need him at times. So that's where I think Outman's at. I think he's going to be okay, and I hope the Dodgers do give him some runway. Like, unless Jason Hayward just comes in and completely dominates in the spring and looks like the old guy, and, you know, he's more of an established name. But then you can, you know, play Outman in left as well, and you can open up the infield a little bit more for some of these other guys. So there's a lot. I'm excited to see what James Outman can do, though, and it's not because of the Instagram video, but seeing him being in that good a shape obviously does help and say, like, okay, this guy wants it. He knows what the he knows the opportunity that's in front of him and he's going after it. And I can appreciate that. So let's finish up with one more conversation about the front office and about, you know, how the Dodgers approach this offseason. We've talked about it in a few different ways, but this is a little bit different way. But real quick, thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. And check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. You can find that wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube. All right, so this last question stems a little bit from Andy McCullough did a mailbag. Fabian Ardiaz did a mailbag on The Athletic, and a lot of the questions were about luxury tax and luxury tax. Pretty much almost all the questions were luxury tax and should the Dodgers have gone over or should they have handled this offseason differently and blah, blah, blah. But one thing that Fabian said in there that made me think about this in a different way and it made sense was, it's in the question talking about luxury tax, and the guy asks, if the Dodgers don't get under luxury tax this year, are we looking at a 2-year pseudo rebuild without a full go for it until 2025? And Fabian answers that question, and he ends with, he says, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, the two Dodgers who are locked up long term, are in their primes right now. Do you want to waste those years? And I hadn't really thought about it in that way because, you know, the Dodgers have had a sustained winner 10 years in a row making the playoffs. You know, they should be making the playoffs for their 11th year in a row, whether that's as NOS champions or as a wild card team. You know, there's still some question marks there. And you know, we can't say for sure what's going to happen. But he's right. I mean, you've already committed the money to Mookie Betts. You've already committed the money to Freddie Freeman. And realistically, they're, you know, not going to be as good in 2 years as they are this. You know, every year you go by, you're risking that they Father Time might catch up or they might not be as good or whatever the case is. And if you're going to spend, then, yeah, you spend when those guys you spend when you've already developed guys, you already signed guys long term and you can go for it. And, you know, this is with the caveat that the Dodgers owners can spend as much as they want pretty much every year and it won't really be an issue in terms of running out of money. It'll be an issue of if it's smart business practice, but it won't be an issue running out of money. It'll be an issue of if it's smart, you know, with the draft picks dropping and the less money to spend internationally and everything else. But it won't be an issue of money running out. But, and then you look at, okay, so Mookie Betts in somewhat of his prime, you know, Freddie Freeman still somewhat in his prime, you know, whatever define prime these days, because MLB players are starting to be better at a younger age than they were before, but either way. And then the other part is, you know, Clayton Kershaw is not getting any younger. Not that, you know, the Dodgers already won the World Series, so I don't feel like they feel the pressure of, okay, we need to win a World Series for these guys and for Clayton Kershaw. But, you know, he's not getting any younger. You would want to, you know, show him the type of respect that he deserves and put him, you know, not. This is not saying the Dodgers aren't putting together a team that's capable of winning the World Series this year. But, you know, obviously there was other moves they could have made that would have been made the team better. And it's also hard because the Dodgers can put together the best team on paper and they could still lose. And you know, last year they had, you know, before the season started, it was, okay, is it when they signed Freddie Freeman, it was, okay, is this one going to be one of the best offenses of all time? And then it was a really good offense. The Dodgers won 111 games, one of the best teams of all time, the best team in Dodgers franchise history. And then they still lose in the playoffs. You know, the Dodgers could have signed Carlos Correa and, you know, Brandon Nimmo and Justin Verlander and whatever, whoever else, or, you know, traded for somebody. And it's not going to guarantee that they win the World Series. But it does give you, you know, in theory, better odds. You know, was, I think other than going after one of the main shortstops and, you know, with Correa and Trey being the main two and then Xander and then Dansby, like if he wasn't going to get that much money, I think that could have benefited the Dodgers in terms of making the team better. You know, not that I don't believe in Gavin Lux, but Gavin Lux was pretty good. He's a very good second baseman and would have been a top second baseman in the game if he continued to progress the way he's progressed. And you have a really good shortstop. You know, could the Dodgers have signed, you know, a number one starting pitcher? You know, yes, they could have. That would have helped the team. Now, pitching is a little bit harder because, you know, they're supposed to get Walker Buehler back next year, but they also might lose Julio Diaz next year. And, you know, you don't know if you don't know how those negotiations are going to go, especially with him being a Boris client. So there's a lot of different caveats here of, okay, signing all these guys doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series. Not signing these guys doesn't mean you're not going to win the World Series. But I do think if you've already spent the money on Mookie and Freddie, and though, okay, these guys are going to be our guys, you know, for the next 5 years at this point with Freddie. Freddie's deal ends in 5 years. Then, yeah, go for it. Spend the money. Do what you need to do. Give yourself the best chance to win. And you would hope that your development system continues to put guys out there. So, you know, for every free agent you do sign, let's just say you sign a big free agent, is to say they would have signed one of the big free agent shortstops. For every big free agent shortstop you do sign, you have a guy like Will Smith that comes up and gives you at least 6 years, a little bit cheaper, of high quality production. You know, a guy like, well, Cody Bellinger, you know, would have an MVP in his first 6 years. You know, Corey Seager at that time coming up and being that guy and being, you know, a top tier shortstop. On his rookie before he becomes a free agent. You know, your hope that you supplement these guys with a bunch of these guys coming up. You know, Diego Cartaya, Andy Páez, those guys come up, become good MLB players. You know, you have that, and then you supplement with guys like Max Muncy and Chris Taylor, which you either get on a rebuild, they rebuild their swing, or they're trying to fix something, or you see something, boom. Pitching wise, they've been able to do it a lot, getting pitchers that are a little bit down or a little bit different or whatever. They find what works for them and boom. And you have that factory and you supplement all that you're, you know, they've saved on Max Muncy. They've saved on Chris Taylor. They've saved, you know, Tyler Anderson last year. They've been able to save money in those senses. And that's where you can, you know, feel freely to spend on other ones. And, you know, we can look back at the Trevor Bauer signing as being one of those signings, and a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't have signed him. They knew kind of what they were getting into type of thing. Although we had never seen that type of, you know, what he did was a lot different than what he was doing or what, you know, people didn't like him for in terms of, you know, online bullying or harassing women or whatever the case is. Now, some might say that is a step in that, you know, that way. But whatever the case is, I'm talking about like specifically the signing, you know, Trevor Bauer, Freddie Freeman were specifically those signings. But those guys also were signed basically last resort type of thing in terms of the Dodgers got the deal that they wanted out of it. And sometimes I do think there's going to be times in the next couple years, you know, with Freddie, like I said, with Freddie and Mookie and some of these younger guys coming up, you know, Will Smith is not going to be around forever in terms of on his rookie deal. They're going to have to either pay him or move on. You know, some of these other guys are either going to have to pay or move on. And I think it's one where you go out and get somebody maybe a little bit on their terms. And you're still be able to have sustained success because you believe in your development system and you believe in everything else. And then you spend a little bit of money. So, you know, do I think the Dodgers should have done things differently? We don't know for sure. Yet I would have maybe, you know, spend. It doesn't bother me spending, obviously. It's not my money. But, you know, whatever the case is, we'll see what happens. And maybe this is, like I said, maybe the Dodgers needed something like this where they have a little bit of a – they might have a little bit of chip on their shoulder, I'm sure. So there's going to be a lot of people that pick the Padres to win the NL West this year. And I'm sure, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that say the Dodgers are the, you know, fourth, fifth best team in the National League and, you know, whatever the case is. And, you know, maybe that's what they need. So we'll see. But just, you know, that perspective of, yeah, why not spend now when you already put money down for Mookie and Freddie and there's no point in not spending now. And then if you have to spend later when those guys aren't as good and now you have a bunch of money with, you know, whatever the case. But, you know, we'll see. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's there for you just like we are, wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.